يكفرون من أتاني كربلاء آه كم أعاني هل لكل حين تراب لا زاير يموت وأنا بس أنتظر إمام العصر ترتقي بدموعي ونحي على الحال الفجيعي أنا أرض البطيعي. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين. As promised, we're going to do a little bit of ahkam first to make sure that when we say Labbaik Ya Hussein, the first step of Labbaik Ya Hussein starts with these ahkam, these wajibat and muharramat that the Imams came to tell us about. The great struggle starts with these, actually. So then when the time comes, we can say the Labbaik Ya Hussein. Last night, we talked about the terminology that we sometimes have in these books, Islamic law books. This ihtiyat wajib, ihtiyat mustahab that we talked about. This obligatory precaution and recommended precaution. Okay, if you remember last night, we talked about that. Now an example with
something that we usually deal with, and usually I get this question. So it's going to both be an example and something that's something we can relate to here. An example for ihtiyat wajib and ihtiyat mustahab. Just to recap, we said that ihtiyat wajib means your marja doesn't have a ruling regarding a certain issue. He couldn't find the answer. Okay, he's not ma'soom. Couldn't find it. Some people say, this one brother came to me once, a long time ago. He said to me, it just doesn't make sense. I just can't fathom that. What? Ihtiyat wajib, what is that? Ha ha. I said, listen, you're not going to stand instead of him on the Day of Judgment when they're asking him, why'd you give this fatwa? Why'd you give that fatwa? The hadith goes by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that man afta bighayri ilm فَلْيَتَبَوَّأْ مَقْعَدَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. If you pass a verdict, pass a hukm, a ruling, a fatwa, without being 100% sure that you have a hujjah from the sources, what happens? You can get yourself ready for the fire. That marja is not going to, out of whim, just say, okay, I couldn't find the answer, but you know, it seems like this, it seems like that, let me give the verdict. That's qiyas, that's bid'ah, that's haram. Okay, you're not going to go to the fire for him. All right? So, what does he do? He says, listen, I don't know the ruling. Stay away from it so you can be on the safe side. That's obligatory precaution. Recommended precaution means no, you can go ahead and do it. It's okay. Now, an example for that. A question that's asked often is, this, I think it's called industrial alcohol, is it called? You know, the alcohol or ethanol that's used in foods maybe sometimes. In the rubbing alcohol, in mouthwash, things like that. You guys know better than me. Is that najis or not? Because it's alcohol, right? That's a good question. When you go and look at Imam Khomeini, rahmatullahi, his fatwa is that anything that is liquid and is intoxicating is liquid in essence, of course. And intoxicating, it's najis. That means if you grind up like some marijuana, it is intoxicating, but since it's not liquid in essence, you grind it up, put it in some water, that water won't be najis because it wasn't liquid in essence. But if something is liquid in essence and intoxicating, najis, according to Imam Khomeini. But we don't follow Imam Khomeini because, I mean, you guys are young, so he had already probably passed away before you became baligh. We have two other maraji'. Let's see what their fatawa are. Two other major maraji' that are alive today. Ayatollah Khamenei is very similar to Imam Khomeini. And in the past, I think he was the same as Imam Khomeini in this fatwa. But now, when you look on the website, he says, it's an obligatory precaution that anything that is liquid in essence and is intoxicating is najis. It's najis, but as per obligatory precaution. Not, this is my fatwa. It's najis, finished, no. Okay. Obligatory precaution. What does that mean? That means if the alcohol or ethanol or whatever used in, like, for example, cologne and perfume is intoxicating, which I don't know, probably is, then it's najis. So when we use it, we become najis. We can't pray with that. Right? But this is where obligatory precaution comes in and saves the day. Obligatory precaution he has there. He doesn't have a fatwa. What does that mean? That means we go to our next marja if we have one. Okay? See what he says. Does he have a fatwa or not? I explained this yesterday. Does he have a fatwa or not? We go to Ayatollah Sistani, for example. Okay? Ayatollah Sistani, what does he say? He says that all of these alcohols, they're tahir. They're not najis. What does that mean? That means if you use it in the mouthwash, it's not najis. You can swallow it. I don't know why you would do that, but you can swallow it. Alright? That means that the cologne you use, the perfume you use, if it has the alcohol in it, it's not najis. It's all good. Even if you're not a muqallid, a follower of Ayatollah Sistani, you can follow him in this issue because Ayatollah Khamenei doesn't have a fatwa here. He has an obligatory precaution. Very nice. Alhamdulillah. It makes things so much easier, even to the extent that, I'm going to end it with this, vanilla extract. They say it has ethanol in it. Okay? Can I have it or not? Well, if it's intoxicating and liquid in essence, it might be a problem. But since it's ihtiyat wajib, obligatory precaution to refrain from it, it's not wajib to refrain from it, we can refer to another alim, another marja, like Ayatollah Sistani here, who says that it's tahir. If it's tahir and very minute, it's okay. So vanilla extract becomes okay, according to Ayatollah Sistani, and even those who are following Ayatollah Khamenei, they can refer here. That's the difference. If Ayatollah Khamenei had said, for example, no, not ihtiyat wajib, it's wajib to refrain from it, then we couldn't refer to Ayatollah Sistani, except for those who follow Ayatollah Sistani from the start. You get it? So this is an important thing we got to keep in mind sometimes. Yesterday I had the other example, where one of the brothers, he came to me and then he said, I have to make up I don't know how many years of Salat. Why? Because I didn't follow this ruling, I didn't know it. I said, let me see it. I saw that it says recommended precaution. I said, bro, this is recommended precaution, you don't have to. You're good. Just make sure you don't miss any other salats in the future. Forget the past, alhamdulillah. Recite three salawats, please.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Last night, for those of you who are here, and if you remember, and for those who weren't here, very short summary. Talking about why commemorating Ashura. Of course, this isn't the topic. We talked about the link between this and the actual topic that we have. Some people commemorate Ashura because of itself, tradition. For the sake of it being remembered, they remember it. Okay, that's one. Said, no, if it's a tradition, then what happens is sometimes even shaitan will come to fund your majalis. Remember? Sometimes shaitan will come to fund your majalis. Before the revolution, we had huge scholars. Huge. When I say huge, I mean physically. The beard was dragging on the ground. The amama was like, I don't know how big. But when the shah, you know, the king, that when he would walk in, they would line up all these shuyukh, all these great ulama, and they would kiss his hand. You can be sure that shaitan is the one who put the amama on their head. Shaitan, when he sees that, okay, this is being upheld just for the sake of it to be upheld, nothing's coming out of it, he says, I'll fund it for you. So we said, no, that's not good. Then someone says, no, we commemorate to keep it alive so that the future generations can commemorate. We said, all right, it's just like saying we eat to live so that we can live to eat. just go in circles. Okay, you're commemorating it to keep it alive, to commemorate again. Okay, so what happens in the end? Oh, we just keep commemorating. Really? Imam Hussein alayhi salam, his blood was spilled. He could have stayed in Medina. His blood was spilled so that we keep commemorating. Nothing comes out of it. No. Something does come out of it. What? Our sins are erased. What was the answer to that? The answer was, I thought we were Muslim, not Christian. We don't need Imam Hussein's blood to spill so that our sins can be forgiven. That's what's so cool about Islam. You erase the sin with a simple tawbah. All of our ulama say that. A simple tawbah is enough. So, what do we do? They said, no. Yes, you're right. Sins, no, we don't want them to be forgiven. So what is it? We want something else, brothers and sisters. What is it? He says, no, it's an ibadah. The same way that salat is ibadah, we are keeping Ashura alive because we want to do ibadah. Okay? If that's the case and we're not supposed to do it because of ibadah, then we shouldn't teach our kids how to pray either. We teach our kids to pray. We have schools, we have Sunday school, Saturday school, so that what? They learn how to pray so that this prayer continues. Why? Because it's ibadah. We want this ibadah to continue. It's what Allah wants. Same thing here. Ibadah. Shedding tears for Abu Abdullah is ibadah. And then we said that no. Once again, there's two types of ibadah in Islam. Some ibadah are ibadah in and of themselves, and Allah has to come and specify, I want you to pray Salat al-Fajr 2 rak'ah. Not 3, not 4, not 1. He's the one to specify. This many stones at the Jamarat, all of this is specified by him. If it was us, we don't understand. Even now when we look at it, seriously, how can someone say, I know why it's 4 rak'at at Salat al-Dhuhr, not 3 or 5 or 6? Seriously, who can come up with that? But then we said that there's other forms of ibadah that you can tell what the reason for it is. Alright? And we had some examples yesterday. Ashura and commemorating Ashura falls under this category. So yes, ibadah, we want to keep it alive, all of that, but it's not that type of ibadah in and of itself, per se. Okay, we talked about it yesterday. What is it? Something's supposed to come out of it. And we're not going to be satisfied with the blood of our master to spill on the hot plain of Karbala, so that some people say, yes, he did that to teach us that we must uphold the salat. Why? Because on Ashura, amongst the arrows and spears, our master stood and he prayed. Imam Hussein's blood has to spill for that? Imam Hussein's blood has to spill so that our sins are forgiven. I'm not gonna be happy. That doesn't satisfy me. My master's blood has to spill for these things. These things, we have all the ahadith there. It's enough for us already. We have the ulama pushing for it already. It's enough. Imam Hussein, waliullah al-a'zam, his blood has to spill for these petty reasons. We develop a connection to Imam Hussein because of Ashura. Brother, his blood doesn't have to spill. Imam Hussein is so good. Imam Hussein is so lovable. Imam Hussein is so emotional. You don't have to spill his blood to be able to love him. Huh? So we're not satisfied with this. We want something else to come. We are not satisfied. We are only satisfied with the greatest thing that can come out of this, which is Dhuhur al-Hujjah Sahib al-Amr. We want that to come out of it. Is it worth anything less than that? The same way that he was oppressed then, we want the same amount and extent of oppression that happened, we want the same amount of what? Adala and justice to come. The only justice that can take the place of the oppression that happened to our master is the adala that's going to come with Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam. So, everything for us when it comes to Ashura, everything revolves around Dhuhur. Dhuhur meaning the return of our Imam. If any aspect of Ashura and our commemoration of Ashura undermines Dhuhur, goodbye. If any aspect postpones dhuhr, I'm sorry. Why? Because everything that counts for us in this regard is dhuhr. Anything that helps dhuhr is welcome. Anything that gets in the way of dhuhr, postpones dhuhr, weakens dhuhr, we don't want it. Ashura is linked to dhuhr. Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam is linked to Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam. But now we look around us. And as I said last night, this is something that, alhamdulillah, the brothers and alims coming out from the houses and going around during these days, these precious days, I've noticed that they're speaking about it more. We need to spread awareness, unfortunately, because religiosity, brothers and sisters, is starting to change in meaning. For us, it's changing. Before, religiosity meant one thing, now it's different because the challenges are changing. The shubahat, the challenges that are set forth and put in the face of tashayyu today are not the same as 10 years ago. Today you look around, you see so much new stuff happening. Our religiosity has to be dynamic, has to be able to address these. A person would practice something 10 years ago, 15 years ago. But today, we'll have to be patient. But another person will see religiosity as what? As continuously being the same all the time. That's not what Imam Khomeini teaches us. Who is Imam Khomeini? Imam Khomeini is nobody compared to Ahlul Bayt. Imam Khomeini is the channel of Ahlul Bayt to us. What we're supposed to believe in? Is it other than that? Look around you, brothers and sisters. What is helping tashayyu today? All these little voices here and there that have their special way, or this movement that was started 20, 30 years ago? When you look at it, you can tell, okay, this is apparently what's supposed to happen. Okay? Forget all the other reasons. Just use your mind, use your common sense. Religiosity has become very dynamic. So now we look around us, we see when it comes to Ashura, there's some things that are getting in the way of dhuhr. Like what? Two things I want to point out. Inshallah, I get to point out both of them tonight. If not, some of it we'll have to wait for tomorrow night. Recite salawat. Number one is aql. Al-aql ma ubida bihi ar-Rahman wa iktusiba bihi al-jinan. Aql. Common sense, intellect. We have to use it. You see that, unfortunately, the hadith, the translation is, the aql is what Allah is worshipped by. And is what the heavens and paradise are achieved through. You don't use your aql, you're not going to get to Jannah. Some people, unfortunately, they just do ta'qil of aql. Alright, shut it down. When it comes to Ashura, Muharram, Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. And what hurts is they make this equal to the super religiosity. This is exactly what Imam al-Husayn wants. Brother, sister. That's why we keep tying Ashura to Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam. Because when a person shuts down the aql and says, I will do anything for you, O Hussein. Labbaik ya Hussein. Labbaik ya Hussein, but in my own way. Without using my aql, what happens? He's undermining dhuhr. Why? Because they say when Imam Sahib al-Zaman comes, he will touch the heads of the people. This is symbolic. And their minds will perfect. He's here to perfect the aql. The prophets came for this. لِيُثِيرُوا دَفَائِنَ عُقُولِهِمْ دَفَائِنَ الْعُقُولِ The stuff that is buried, the uqul that have been buried. The prophets came to bring that out. The aql. Reactivate the aql. And then now Imam Hussein and this whole story of Ashura and commemorating Ashura, what? We cancel the aql. We say when it comes to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, put the aql aside, go by ishq, go by love. Let me tell you something. A story that I just remembered. The school that we used to study in back in the day, the first school that I went to, in Qom, one of the houses that are there, they have pictures when you walk in and you reach under the dome of the school, they have pictures, like maybe 40, 50, 60 pictures of Shuhada, of the Iran and Iraq war, of that school. Think about it. You've grown up with people, and all of a sudden you see their picture on the wall. Of course, I wasn't there. I'm just saying their classmates, you see them still. For whatever reason, they didn't have that honor, but their classmates did. Okay? Don't think, I'm sorry I keep hating on, or like attacking this Labbaik Ya Hussein. I'm not attacking it. I want to make sure we say it the right way. These classmates did something for 20 years, and then when the time comes, they said Labbaik Ya Hussein. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit, inshallah, in the future nights. Labbaik Ya Hussein is not something to say. Okay? It has to be instilled. It has to be instilled. They say in the battlefield, in the war front, in the Iran-Iraq war, some of these shuhada, when a bullet would hit them right there, he would say, Ali! And he would fall. Why? Because Ali has been instilled. Has been instilled through practice. Okay, we just see that last moment. We see the last chant of Labbaik Ya Hussein. Oof. Every single day when harams come up and wajibat come up, when your parents get mad at you, when you get mad at your parents, you can't take it, your wife, your spouse, your husband, your kids. When you're walking in the street, something haram, you're hearing something haram, that's when you're supposed to say Labbaik Ya Hussein. Or else when the time comes, you're not going to say Labbaik Ya Hussein. You're going to say Khuda Hafiz Ya Hussein. Farewell Ya Hussein. Brothers and sisters, be careful. You walk under the dome, you see pictures. One of them is one of these shaheeds. He was a commander, although he was a sheikh. He was one of the commanders, Raddanipur, Rahmatullah alayh. They say that they were going to carry out an operation. Okay? The night of the operation, all of a sudden, rumor goes around. That what? That one of these people, that one of these soldiers has seen a dream. Imam Sahib al-Zaman has come to his dream and said, do not go on with this operation. And he has spread this around in the camp. Okay, so you think here, this is something that's emotional. This is the ishq side. Ishq. Put the aql aside. Imam Mahdi is telling me. Imam Hussein is telling me. Put the aql aside. Ishq all the way. What does this sheikh do? He says, I've heard that this rumor is going around. This is the night of the operation, brothers and sisters. Okay? It's no joke. People are going to die. They are responsible for the lives of these youth. How are they going to look their parents in their face when they come back from the operation? They say, your child was killed. He says, who said this? And someone raised their hand. I don't know, I thought he probably thought that they're going to give him like a medal of honor or something. Please see more of these dreams. What happened? Now maybe I shouldn't say this, but he called him up and in front of everybody slapped him in the face. It's no joke. Why is it that some people, when it comes to making decisions, every single thing they want to do, istikhara, istikhara, istikhara. Is that what Allah commands us? Every single thing, what happened to aql? Allah says, use your aql. So when you go to proper ulama, they'll tell you, listen, use your aql. Think, reflect. If you don't come to a conclusion on something, then do istikhara. No, go and consult others. Aql. If your aql isn't enough, go use other people's aqls. Right? Get help from other people's aqls. Then if no one can help you, you're stuck at a crossroad, then yes. Then you can do an istikhara. But some people, they think deen, they can draw the lines wherever they want. Ishq, ishq, ishq. Imam Hussein for sure is ishq. Aql has no way there. If aql says something and ishq says something, we go with what? We go with ishq. Brother, this is not right. What are you doing? Do you know by doing this what happens, the implications? Don't talk to me. Ana majnun al-Hussein. Ana majnun al-Hussein. Ana majnun al-Hussein. Yes, that's a line. It's a very nice line. But if you're majnun of a Hussein, you obey Hussein. Hussein and Mahdi alayhi salam, Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam, they're here for uqul. The anbiya came for uqul, for aql. To revive the aql. And then you're saying, Ana majnun al-Hussein. Yes, majnun in the sense that obedient, yes. But in the sense of, no, I'm going to do whatever I want for Imam Hussein. I'm sorry. That's where ulama come in. Help us out. Even worse, some people say, now I don't want to say that this is bad. Please, please, don't take out of context, but I feel that it's important to make a point here. They went to Ayatollah Bahjat, okay, and they said to him, is it okay if we say, Ana Kalbul Hussein? Okay? Please, please, please pay attention to the answer. Very beautiful answer. Very beautiful answer. Very beautiful answer. Ayatollah Bahjat, what does he say? He knows what someone, when someone says that, what they mean by it. When you say, I am the dog of Hussein, it means that everything of me is for Hussein. He is my master, and this is good. This is good. But this line should not be used as a pretext for batil, for shutting down the aqil. What does Ayatollah Bahjat say? Very nice. And this is where ulama show themselves. He doesn't say, oh no, no, this is wrong, whatever. No. He understands the emotions of the people. He says, don't say Ana Kalbul Hussein. Because this is something that you can't be. Subhanallah. You can't be Kalbul Hussein. If you were Kalbul Hussein, you wouldn't be here right now. You would be in the heavens. He says it like this, subhanAllah. Alims know what they're talking about, brothers and sisters. And then you have some people come out and say, oh, these alims. He says, don't say Ana Kalbul Hussein. That needs worthiness. Say Ana Abdul Hussein. Just to make sure that people don't shut down the aql. You can't be Kalbul Hussein. So don't use it when you know you're not. And there's implications. Why are you doing this? Why are you... Astaghfirullah. I'm not going to come up with examples. Why are you doing this? Because I am the dog of Hussein. Say you're the abd of Hussein and make sure what you're doing is in accordance with Hussein, what Hussein wants from you. What the Hussein of your time wants from you. That's number one. That's one way of putting dhuhur behind. Postponing dhuhur with our actions. With ta'til of aql. Some people look at it like this. They say, okay, Imam Mahdi comes to perfect the minds, to complete the minds. Let's wait for him to come and perfect our minds. Let's not use our mind. I'm not even going to say anything in response to that. Let's be dumb until he comes. Does that make sense? Does that work? Does that even read with Islamic principles? Let's be like this. The Quran is like full of verses that talk about how ya'qilun, ta'qilun, all of these things, and then now we want to go contrary to that. I'm not even going to answer that. We're not even going to honor that with a response. Number two. No, some people don't shut down the aql, don't put the aql aside. But what do? They put ahlul ilm aside. They put ulama aside. Dude, you wouldn't even known who Imam Hussein is if ulama throughout the centuries hadn't done what they've done. And now you're putting them aside? Is that how you show your appreciation? The same aqil that says, follow a mujtahid. For God's sake, let's not say alims. They put mujtahids aside. The same aql that said, go to mujtahids because they know what they're doing, because they've spent their life, 50, 60, 70 years of their lives in the ahadith, in the Quran. The same aql that says, go and follow a mujtahid now is telling them to put him aside. So don't come to me and say, I have my aql, but I'm not following an alim. Till yesterday he's following the alim, the mujtahid, the marja. All of a sudden, because the marja puts his hand on something that's related to Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam that he feels goes against his ishq, he says goodbye to the alim. We're not going to get a chance. Tomorrow night, there's a beautiful story, two beautiful stories I want to relate to you about the importance of ulama. Beautiful, inshallah. Recite salawat. The Quran says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إنما يخشى الله من عباده العلماء. Okay? It's one of those super verses. It goes like this. It says, only, innama, only the ulama of ibadullah are the ones who have khashyatullah. Okay? Khashya means fear of Allah. The true fear of Allah, who has it? Allah in the Quran says the alims have it. True khashya. Because if you're not alim, you don't have the right picture of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say like this man, it's in the hadith. He was a great worshipper of Allah. But when they asked him, why do you worship Allah? He would come out with this dumb answer. That like, this is because these sheep are eating grass, and like, it's something like that. I forget, I'm sorry. But I'm relying on my memory here. He said something very, it shows that his understanding of Allah is like this big. It's very, very weak. He doesn't have true understanding and cognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you don't have true understanding and cognition, you don't have khashyatullah, true khashyatullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran is saying, the ulama are the ones who know me, and the ulama are the ones who have true khashya. Allah is saying this, and then he comes out and says, all right, marja, 60, 70 years you've spent, I understand, but you see, you don't understand the muhabba and hub of al-Husayn alayhi salam. I understand it. That's why I'm going to put you aside. And that's not the whole tragedy, brothers and sisters. To add to the tragedy, oh God. He puts that guy aside, that marja aside, and then what does he do? I wish he would just not go after anybody else. He goes and looks around now, looks around and sees, oh, I found an alim that says what I say. Khalid, you become marja yourself then. Why don't you just become a marja yourself? Because you look around to see who complies with your understanding, and then you're going to follow him. So just become a marja yourself then. If you're not acknowledging 60 years of ilm, of dars and study, if you're not acknowledging that, why don't you just go and become a marja yourself? If you're the one who can tell where the ilm lies, what does he do? He goes and follows somebody that no one even knows how many years this person has spent. Those years that he has spent studying Islam, how the quality, how was it? Who are his teachers? No one knows. What makes it even worse is that when you talk to some of these brothers that know some of these quote-unquote, let's not even call them quote-unquote alims, these mu'ammameen, some of them. When you speak to some of these brothers, the good brothers, that know some of these guys that have maybe studied 1.5, 2, 3, 4 years, you learn about them, you're just like, wow, how in the world does this person have a following? Not that having a following or not having a following is what counts. We don't want another Ashura to happen. Imam Hussein says, don't you see that the haq is not being adhered to and the batil has taken its place? Well, that's what happens when you follow somebody who's not qualified. Bani Umayyah are not qualified. Imam Hussein has to give his life to show this to everybody. Now what you're doing is, through Ashura, you are making and creating another Ashura and putting Dhuhur aside. Alhamdulillah, thank you very much. Let's end it here. Tomorrow night, inshallah, a couple stories. Assalamu alaykum ya Aba Abdullah. Today was the 2nd of Muharram. And they say on the 2nd of Muharram is when the caravan arrives. the caravan arrives in Karbala. But this isn't the first caravan, you could say, that has seen Karbala. Hadith say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed Karbala to the Anbiya and Awliya. And I think from what I remember that Allah says, I will not even have a covenant with you. You have to acknowledge Karbala and Ashura. You have to give your bay'ah to Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. One of those people who has seen Karbala, they say, is Imam Ali alayhi salam. They say it was in the Battle of Siffin that Imam Ali, if they were either going or coming back from Siffin, when they're close to the land of Karbala, they say he picked up some sand from the ground, he smelled it, and he said, "Ha huna masari'u ushaq. لا يسبقهم من كان قبلهم." This is the place, and it's interesting, we don't have many ahadith that use the word ishq. And we were just talking about ishq. Because ishq, when you have ishq, sometimes you kind of, it's not very reasonable. The Quran doesn't have the word ishq in it. But these shuhada in Karbala were ushaq. They don't care what's going to happen to them. There, some of them are laughing on the night of Ashura. They're happy. Imam Ali says, this is the falling point. This is the sleeping and falling point of Ushaq Shuhada. Martyrs who are Ushaq, they are lovers, they're in love. Those who came before them will never reach them. The same goes for those who will come after them. Shuhada, these Shuhada, no one is up to par with them. Subhanallah, Abul Fadl al-Abbas has a rank, they say, the ahadith, that the other shuhada will envy. The shuhada of Karbala will envy. Alamein envy the shuhada of Karbala. And then everyone envies Abul Fadl al-Abbas. This land has been visited before. And then they say, when Imam al-Husayn is getting close to Kufa, the children, the women, they hear stampede. They look out and they see that there is horsemen coming. 1,000 horsemen coming towards the caravan of Aba Abdullah. But you don't hear the way you hear on Ashura, how the women and children, when there was a stampede after they had taken care of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, you don't see what happened in Ashura happen now. What happened on Ashura? On Ashura, when they had killed Imam Husayn alayhi salam, when they're resting assured that there is no more Abbas, they feel that now we can attack the tents. These champions can now attack the tents. That's when the orphans, that's when the mothers, that's when the women have to flee. But this doesn't happen on the 2nd of Muharram or the 1st of Muharram. When this army comes of 1,000 horsemen, why? Because alhamdulillah, Abul Fadl al-Abbas is still alive. Zainab and the kids are resting assured that nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to go wrong. But on Ashura, it's different. They come, they say, you have to change your route. They're panting from the heat and the thirst because they've been rushing to find Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. What happens, and this is the tragedy, brothers and sisters, what happens is Imam al-Husayn, for some reason, I don't know why he's trying to teach the people. When you see someone thirsty, quench his thirst. They say that they come, they're all thirsty, their horses are panting. Aba Abdullah says, come, let me give you water. Imam Hussein himself grabs the water sacks. They say these people, they're drinking this water so fast out of thirst that the water is spilling from their mouths all over their body and faces. That's how thirsty they are. Imam Hussein comes and says, give me the water sack, let me open it up for you more. La ilaha illallah, la yawmika yawmika ya Aba Abdullah. on Ashura. Who cares if they didn't give water to Imam al-Hussein? Why didn't they give water to Ali al-Asghar? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah al-Ali al-Azim. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلب.